John here, and we've got a new sponsor, DistroKid. Now that you've finished your latest Pirate Math SpongeCore Twitch track, it's time to get it out there so everyone can hear it. DistroKid helps musicians get their music on all the major streaming platforms, and artists keep 100% of their royalties. And because you're a high-gain listener, you get 30% off. Just go to distrokid.com/VIP/high-gain. That's distrokid.com/VIP/high-gain. And now DistroKid has an app. The DistroKid app is available for iOS and Android. You can download it at distrokid.com/app or in the app and Play stores. We'd like to take a minute to thank our pals over at Isotope, makers of software and plugins for audio repair, mixing, and mastering. The new gold standard of audio repair, Isotope RX11, is coming in May. Buy RX10 now on sale and get RX11 absolutely free when it's released. We use Isotope products here at the High Gain. It's an important part of how we've been able to bottle pure podcast gold week after week. High Gain listeners get 10% off using the promo code FRET10. That's FRET10. That's all at isotope.com. IZOTOPE.com.
Hey, this is Ed Peterson.
And this is John Kilticka.
And this is the High Gain Podcast.
The High Gain Podcast, Ed.
Hey, John, what do we talk about here?
Oh, we talk about guitars and all kinds of stuffs.
Cool stuff. Are you in beautiful West Seattle?
I am in beautiful West Seattle in the basement again, where I belong.
Yep, same. Hard same.
Hard same.
Yeah. I took some curtains down.
Ooh.
So the basement is a lot more lit up.
Oh.
I had them closed to just kind of like...
shut out the world?
Exactly. Exactly. And I've decided that if I actually am just like sitting down here, it's kind of nice having the light. So it's not literally like a cave.
Not Boo Radley style.
I don't know what that means.
He was a scary old guy that lived next door to Scout and To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh.
The hermit guy who never came out. I apologize for the obscure literary reference.
It's totally a book I've read, a movie I've seen, and I just couldn't pull it, you know? It's occurred to me forever, but I'm just going to bring it up on air.
Oh.
Because we're doing this remotely still. We don't play the intro music because we found it sort of like cut in and out as we would talk. In the COVID world, no intro bums me out.
To not have it.
Yeah. Like when people hear this back, they're going to hear music playing over that little intro section.
Yeah.
And we don't hear it, you and I.
Yeah, on account of the remote.
It's a post effect. And that's totally fine. It's just, you know.
Yes.
It's just one of those things I'm suffering through. Add it to the list.
Does that help any?
Oh, that helps a lot. Man.
God damn, this thing's a screamer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You got a screamer over there?
Yeah.
Beverages.
Did you recognize that, Ed?
Turn up the radio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't, did you?
I do know it. Yeah. You know, and the weird thing is, like, when you started playing the guitar, it's got a thing.
A thing?
It has a thing. It has, like, it sounds like... rock songs have very similar chord progressions. Yeah. It sounds very The Cars.
Whoa.
It has a very Cars vibe, the way you're playing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did the thing that I shouldn't have done.
What's that?
I did a thing, John. I went to the internet.
Uh-oh.
I would not have been able to pull out who the band was. That is not something I could have pulled off.
Autograph?
Yeah. That is not a name that would have jumped out at me.
Well, there's a reason for it, Ed.
Who's in that band? Who's in Autograph?
Oh, I have no idea.
That. Do that again. It's got a The Doors thing to it, weirdly. I think some of that is you putting JFK into Autograph equals the Cars.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's what I'm saying.
We're going back to the butt rock days today, Ed.
Not that the Cars are butt rock.
No.
No.
But for this journey, we're going to need those beverages. So what do you got?
I'm sipping on a cup of coffee in a hydro flask mug.
Yes, of course.
And I don't know if this one's appropriate or not, but I've got a delicious vintage Americana black cherry soda beverage.
Why would that not be appropriate?
Sometimes we do the beverage and it weirdly maps to the guitar. There's some like beverage tie-in. And this time I just grabbed the first Orca beverage that was in the fridge, and it happened to be a black cherry Americana.
I'm not entirely sure that any Orca beverage would be inappropriate.
That is certainly not what I'm saying. I would not want the viewers to get that from what I said. No. Any Orca beverage, anytime, always appropriate. I think that's their motto.
Oh.
Orca beverages, always appropriate.
Never wrong.
Exactly.
Unleash the taste.
What's that?
It's an Orca beverage. It is the original Bulldog root beer.
Oh, yeah. That's one of those ones where when we got the box of beverages from our good friend Jan.
Jan at Orca Beverage, yes.
Shout out, Jan. Bless up.
Bless up?
Yeah.
Are you using your COVID time to learn the new talk?
I don't know that that's necessarily new talk, but you know.
Uh-huh.
The Bulldog. I don't know if I had seen that one in a store, or at least I had never purchased one of those. Lay it on me. How is that thing?
It's a solid root beer, man.
What's going on with that guitar over there, John?
It may, to the untrained eye, look like a Telecaster Deluxe.
Yeah, my least favorite Telecaster.
But it's not. This is a Freedman.
Okay.
Most people know Freedman as the maker of fine amplifiers.
High end, right? Boutique amplifiers.
Yes. This is the first one I've ever held. In fact, it's the first one I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Tells you how much I've got my finger on the pulse. Apparently not at all.
The Freedman.
The Freedman guitar game.
I've never seen one, I don't think. I just think amps. We're going to do a Freedman? Oh, we're doing amps today. Okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll get into under the hood, but it looks like a Tele Deluxe.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of humbuckers, two volumes, two tones, pickup selector.
Yeah.
It's got a bite to it, this one. So I started wondering, is it a parts guitar, or are they made overseas and then shipped over here? Is this just like a kind of money grab thing?
I would guess no. Yeah, I would guess that is not the case.
It is not.
Yeah.
This story begins way back in the 1973 days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We got Watergate going on.
Right.
Right?
Horrible.
I just the other day watched All the President's Men again. I hadn't seen that in a long time.
Had to do it, huh?
That movie is so good.
Very, very good.
Attacking the press was definitely a thing when that movie came out.
It's in the playbook, man.
Totally. And man, Robert Redford, he's a movie star. He's done the weird thing where he's gotten more attractive as he's gotten older, and he was very good looking as a young guy.
Yes.
George Clooney has got a very similar thing. That guy just gets better looking every year. The fuck's up with that?
I'm kind of waiting for that to kick in, but it hasn't yet.
Yeah. I'm sure you and I just keep waiting. Yeah.
So 1973, Ed.
Yeah, right. Watergate. Richard Nixon.
Grover Jackson.
Cool. There's a Grover that makes tuners.
There is. That is a different Grover.
There's a president.
Oh, yeah. Grover Cleveland?
Yep, that would be the one.
Yeah.
Different guy.
Different guy, yes.
Okay.
This is Grover Jackson, the guitar maker. And 73 is when he gets his start making guitars.
Cool.
He starts working in a guitar shop in SoCal, owned by one Wayne Charvel.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
The guitar shop was.
That's right.
Cool.
Wayne Charvel has a repair shop, and he's making Charvel guitars.
Okay.
He hires our man Grover Jackson.
Love it.
But our man Wayne
okay.
was just about bankrupt, so he needed to bail, and our man Grover Jackson said, well, I'll buy the whole thing from you. How about that?
Wait, this is the shop, not the guitar company, or this is the guitar company as well?
Yes, as well. That's how Charvel started. He started with a repair shop, out of which he made guitars.
Charvel guitars.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then when he went bankrupt, our man Grover Jackson took it.
I was so fixated on the Grover part of Grover Jackson.
Uh-huh.
I totally neglected that his last name is Jackson.
Like... That is right. In 1980?
Right.
Our man Grover?
Right.
He launches a Randy Rhoads model Jackson guitar.
Mm-hmm. I totally remember as a kid, I didn't think of Charvel and I didn't think of Jackson. I thought of Charvel Jackson.
Yeah.
I thought of them as the same thing. So this is the beginning of that.
Once our man Charvel sold to Grover, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So he makes the Randy Rhoads model as a way of, I suppose, launching himself unto the world. Oh, by the way, Randy Rhoads.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about Grover?
Grover is still around. He's 70-something now.
Love it.
Born in 1949. Around about this time, here comes the butt rock, Ed. Like it or not.
Yeah.
A cat moves to Los Angeles from his hometown of Detroit. I guess a lot of people are always moving to Los Angeles, especially if they're coming from places that snow like a son of a bitch.
Sure.
Dave Friedman.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
He wants to be in the music industry. He gets a job with a high-end studio rental company. If you're like going in the studio, you can say, I don't know, bring me like 18 Telecasters and I'll just pick the best one for this song. And so here come the dudes in the truck with the 18 Telecasters.
Sure.
That's how he started, Dave Friedman. And he gets to, as you can imagine, meeting people, studio owners, musicians, managers, all that kind of stuff. And he begins kind of modifying amplifiers for people.
Okay.
That's how he's starting to kind of make a name for himself. I can imagine all the guys around the scene saying like, oh yeah, there's this guy, Dave Friedman. He'll tweak your amp for you. Just take it to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Contemporaneously to that, our man Grover... He decides he doesn't want the company anymore.
Yeah.
So he sells it. He sells Jackson Charvel to a Japanese-owned company out of Fort Worth, Texas. He wasn't into it.
This is the darkest of times.
But it's okay because Grover is such a badass at making the guitars and inventing shit. He lands on his feet.
Sure, of course.
He splits for Chicago.
Okay.
This is his early 90s now. He starts working for... Washburn.
Sure.
Our man Grover designed and worked with Dimebag Darrell.
Oh, R.I.P.
Yeah.
All right. Dimebag's guitar. Very cool.
Designed by Grover with Dimebag himself.
Okay.
So he does that, but only for a couple few years, and then he goes back to California, where our man Dave Friedman has gotten a job with Bruce Egnator.
Yeah.
Egnator Amplification.
Right.
Maybe you've heard of them?
I have. Another boutique-y kind of high-end banger, right?
Yeah. So now Dave is really diving into the specifics of how amplifiers work, and he's learning a great deal from Bruce Egnator.
Okay.
He made a custom amplifier for Billy Howerdell of Perfect Circle.
Sure. Okay.
And I guess word got out that this guy made this custom amp, and it sounds great. Based on that, all the bands are looking at Dave Friedman like, what's that thing you did for Perfect Circle? Can you do that for me? Friedman's the dude.
Okay.
I mentioned that Grover was back in town. He ends up supervising design and running the factory for Rickenbacker.
Wow. Cool.
Grover knows what he's doing.
That's a weird veer. You know what I mean? Luthier's gonna luthier. But going from Dimebag to Rickenbacker 360s feels like a little bit of a pivot.
It's because of Grover that Rickenbacker starts using CNC machines.
Sure.
Makes things more accurate, so then by the time the bodies and the necks get to the hand stage, you know, the sanding and the tweaking,
right,
they're already closer to where they need to be than they might have been otherwise.
Absolutely, yeah.
And into the 2000s, Grover keeps doing this. He worked with G&L. He worked with Tacoma Guitars. He worked with Sadowski. He worked with BC Rich. Grover's doing stuff.
Good for him. Good for Grover.
And so is Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 2008, he starts Friedman Amps. His first amp, he called it the Marsha.
I would have thought they had been around a lot longer than that.
No.
I watch a lot of YouTube, John.
Yeah.
You know about that?
I do.
You know about the YouTube?
I've heard of it.
I watch a lot of guitar-related YouTubes. Dudes doing pedal demos and dudes doing little guitar tutorial things. And I just think when I see a Friedman amp sitting behind a guy doing YouTube tutorial, I put just a little more stock in that dude.
Because dude could afford a Friedman amp.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Which is probably a little unfair just to people that don't have Friedman amps. But you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, this is serious guy who's like dumping money into gear.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's a little aside.
Yeah. So the Friedman amps 2008, the first one is the Marsha.
I get it.
Marshall was not really happy about that.
No, they didn't think that was cool.
They did not think that was cool. So he changed it to the BE-100.
Marshall and Marsha are different names. Right when you said it, I said,
yeah.
Oh yeah, I get it. So, I mean, they're not far enough apart that you don't just immediately go like, oh, he's fucking with Marshall. But at the same time, it does seem like, man, that's a pretty flimsy lawsuit.
Or unless he just didn't get sued. Maybe he was just like, yeah, okay, fine. I'll change the name. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And so he's making amp for a good number of years. Until 2015, he decides he wants to get into guitar design and manufacture.
Huh, okay.
They're going to be limited outside of a custom order.
Sure.
So for the most part, you would get in touch with them and say, I want that model and I want it to have A, B, C, D.
I see. He made customs and then they would ship stuff off to a store or have something on the website. I gotcha.
They're going to be handmade.
Yep.
They're not going to be parts guitars. They will be hand-carved, hand-cut, hand-filed, hand-shaped.
Wow.
And hand-relicked. All the way down to the pickups, Ed. They made their own pickups.
Great.
They began shipping these things in early 2016. There were only four models.
Okay.
Two were Telecaster style. Two were Stratocaster style. I hold in my hand one of the Telecaster styles.
Okay.
This particular one has Alder body, dual humbuckers, and it's black. The only other one you could get in that year was a mahogany body with P90 pickups, and it was red.
Okay.
I'm gonna run down the tone of this guitar for Ed.
Cool. Okay. I'm ready.
Nice and full kind of sounding humbuckers on this thing. That's the neck. To my ears, that sounds pretty good. The bridge. And then in the middle. I gotta tell you one thing about this, Ed.
Yeah.
As I play it, it feels super duper resonant for some reason. It's a solid body, but I can kind of feel it vibrating as I play these chords. I don't get that on most guitars. It has a compound fret radius. You know about that?
Tell me about it.
There's a slight curve to the neck. A lot of guitars, it's the same curve all the way up the neck. So if it's a 9-inch fret radius, it's going to be 9 inches all the way up the neck.
Okay.
Compound radius is when you change it as you move up the neck to something else that's more comfortable for the position your hand's in.
Okay.
The compound fret radius, invented by Grover Jackson.
Okay.
Which I suppose makes sense because the guy making all these Friedman guitars is Grover Jackson.
And Friedman, or just Grover Jackson?
Just Grover Jackson.
Wow. Okay.
It is Dave Friedman, who over the years played so many guitars through so many different amps that he got a sense in his head of what he thought a kind of meat and potatoes guitar should feel like and sound like. So he decided to do it, and I guess he decided to call up our man Grover and say, hey, you want to go in on this with me? And so it's Grover making them all.
That's pretty sick.
I was watching YouTube videos in preparation for this, and they were in the shop with Grover.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, tell me about the paint jobs. And he's like, well, I paint every single one of them. And the guy was like, wait, you paint them all? He's like, yeah, well, we had a paint guy, but he retired, so now I just do it.
Huh.
Holy crap, you buy one of these, it was painted by Grover Jackson.
Wow. And like, when you say it's built by Grover Jackson, do you mean designed or do you mean built by?
I mean built by. 70-year-old Grover's there with an apron and sawdust all over himself building guitars.
Holy shit. Wow. I had no idea.
That's his thing. That's what he likes to do, apparently. And he's really into the technology end of it, the CNC stuff.
Grover Jackson builds every, like, fuck, I'm into it.
Yeah. Here's a piece of technology. I don't know if it's anywhere else, but I'm pretty sure Grover invented it for these guitars.
Okay.
You know when you have a bolt-on neck? You put the neck in, and then you put the four bolts in the neck plate in the back, and that holds the neck on, right?
Yep.
Have you ever experienced the neck that nonetheless shifts a little bit?
Not that I've noticed.
The neck pocket could be sloppy.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe there's a crack in it or some kind of something.
Yep.
And as soon as that neck shifts, even imperceptibly,
yeah,
all of a sudden the guitar's not in tune or won't stay in tune and the intonation's all fucked up.
Have I held a guitar that suffers from weird, inexplicable tuning problems? Yes. Is that related to the pocket thing? Maybe.
Right. So take the neck off.
Sure.
And you are looking at the neck pocket.
Yep.
Now drill two precision holes.
Yeah.
Not the holes that the bolts go through. This is two additional holes.
Got it.
And then make two corresponding holes.
Yep.
On the back of the neck. In those holes, you put a stainless steel pin.
Yeah.
Now when you put the neck on, even before you bolt it up, that thing's not going anywhere.
Totally.
And now put the bolts in and tighten it up. And that thing's really not going anywhere. And that kind of mechanical connection lends itself to
sustain.
Yeah. And I don't know enough about it to know if that's what I'm hearing, but I can feel it. Beautiful.
I have no idea what that guitar looks like. None.
You want me to send you a picture?
Yes, I do.
That is an Electro Harmonix pitchfork.
Oh, do it again. I'm way more into this guitar than I thought I was.
Of course you are.
What's that now?
That is the pitchfork going into the Walrus Audio Lillian pedal.
That had a cool sound to it.
I gotta tell you that this pitchfork is very intuitive. It's a blend knob and then the amount of difference you want in the tune.
Okay.
And then you can choose whether you want it to go up, down, or just stay in the middle, in which case you will get up and down.
Ooh, okay. That sounds great. I like it a whole lot. You maybe said it, and I guess it didn't gel with me what this thing looks like. That massive perloid pickguard on black.
I would probably get a black pickguard and just murder this thing out.
100%.
The other four styles are Metro D, Cali, Vintage Classics, and what they call NoHo 24, the big 24 fret monster fancy boys. All of these guitars are plect.
Plectech?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So what does that mean?
A Plex machine is an automated machine that analyzes and dresses frets.
Okay.
Computers, who knew?
Yeah. Do you see that picture of like one of Bezos's houses? People set up a guillotine in front of it. You know, while I think being a luthier sounds really cool, mass producing guillotines sounds not terrible too.
That does sound kind of good.
All right. Well, I think people should go out to thehighgain.com. Check us out. I think they should go to Instagram. I think they should go to Twitter, Facebook. They could hook us up on Patreon if they wanted to. Patreon.com/thehighgain. That's where that is.
That's right.
These are just some things you could do to help out Uncle John and Uncle Ed.
That's it.
Thanks, John.
Okay, Ed.
Good work, John.
Yeah, you did great, Ed.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.